Blog Talk Radio.
Take a look at the health section.
Stand up for humanity. Stand up.
Good evening, wherever you happen to be listening from, whether you listen live or listen to the replay. This is Cynthia Fontaine, Spirit Guru, which it means the guru is within you, and also known as the Rhode Island Psychic Medium, coming to you live here from sunny New England. It's a beautiful day here today, and these are the days that we wait for because summer is so short here, and today is one of those absolutely perfect summer days. So you were listening to You Are the One You Have Been Waiting For by Errol Star Francis with Candy Gigi Barotti, and I hope I said Candy's last name right. They are recording artists from Canada, and Errol is a good friend of mine. Hopefully, in the near future, we're going to be collaborating on some work together. Sorry, I'm just trying to, I want to be outside on this beautiful day, and I'm not really set up for it, so I'm trying to set this up so I can be outside recording and being with you guys live. At the same time, I get to enjoy this weather. All right, so I think I'm sort of set up here now. Today, our show, I'm kind of excited about this. Things happen perfect timing, right? And we have to believe that synchronicities can be a pretty brilliant thing. And I had this synchronicity happen today, this morning while I was on, I was actually cruising like Facebook, and I saw this. I was playing a video, and then you know how it's on automatic play, and then the next video just comes up. And this wonderful video came up. Hold on, I'm just trying to get into my Facebook here. You know, I really dislike being on Google Chrome because every time I try to get into my Facebook or get in anywhere, it makes me re-sign in, and I never know my passwords, so it's so annoying. So then I have to open a different browser, and then get into the browser from there. Oh my goodness, technical stuff. And when I came to broadcast the show today, of course, the program didn't want to let me in. Blog Talk, I started, I was all signed in, ready to go, and then when I hit the press start your show live now button. It disconnected me. So, I said, well, so much for that. Okay. Oh, so I'm looking at, apparently Facebook has changed things. They are asking me, I have no idea what they're asking me here. Oh my goodness, I just want to go live. Oh, well, this is cool now. We can do posts live on Facebook. Let's see. Wow. I don't know if this is going to work today on Facebook or not, you guys. I don't know what's happening here. Oh, my goodness. It says I have a backup stream, but it's not letting me go live. Oh, I don't know. Weird. Okay, so I don't know if I'm going to be able to get on Facebook Live today. I need a technical assistant. And it's not happening. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so anyway, I'm just going to keep on talking, and I'm going to talk about today's subject, and that's living and dying as a gift of consciousness. So I was scrolling through Facebook this morning, and I don't usually get very far in my newsfeed because my newsfeed is so long, and I don't really have that much time, and then I get doing other things, et cetera, et cetera. And so anyway, so I was watching some video. Honestly, I don't even remember what it was. And this other video came up in my newsfeed. And I thought, oh, well, that looks pretty good. It was a TED Talk. And it was this woman who has stage 4 lung cancer. And she was, like, one of the happiest people I have ever seen on Earth. It was pretty amazing. And so the her whole talk was about, they won't let me go on live. I'm still trying to figure this out. And it's not letting me. I don't know why. Oh, my goodness. Let me try. Because it says I have to do tags, and it's not letting me do any tags that I want to do. Oh, let's try meditation. Okay, that works. I'm not in my usual Monday morning office, so I'm set up in a different way here, and it's just not cooperating. Because usually I have everything all set up and ready to go. But this actually has nothing to do with that, though, come to think of it. Because the Facebook is weird, being weird. And it is not letting me just go live. Okay, so this is crazy. So you guys on Blog Talk, looks like you get me today. Maybe all the way by yourself. I don't know. Okay, let's see. No, I don't want to promote a group. No, I don't want to tell them how I'm feeling. No, I don't want to check in. No, I don't want to restrict who can see this. Oh, my goodness. Craziness, craziness. Okay. It won't even let me go live. This is so weird. Okay, anyway. All right, you guys, so you Facebook people might not be getting me today because I just, oh, let's see, live video. And it's still not working. Okay, well, anyway, it is what it is. It's telling me I have to schedule it, and it's not telling me that I can just go live. It's totally weird. Okay, well, it is what it is. All right, I'm going to have to just post to my peeps over here on Facebook. They have changed the settings again, and they're not letting me go live. Ah, okay, So that's that. So when Facebook goes live, it will go live. And when it does, hopefully they'll notify me because I can't seem to do it myself, even though, okay. All right. So, because I know my peeps will be waiting there over for me. Let me just put this, hey guys, having trouble. Sorry, you guys over here on Blog Talk. So speaking of Blog Talk Radio, I'm actually thinking about changing formats. I've been thinking about it for about a month now. I love taking callers and everything on Blog Talk, but I feel like I need more exposure. And so I'm thinking about switching over to the YouTube Live as well as Instagram and continuing to do the Facebook Live videos. So just, you know, kind of let me know what you guys think about that. And I'm also going to do podcasting. So, oh, I see. It won't let me go live because it won't. I'm on Chrome. No wonder. Oh, Facebook is, you know, I'm really disliking the internet stuff. This ridiculous little technical stuff. Oh, it's so frustrating. All right. So that's why I can't get in because it's, I have to be on Chrome, which I really dislike Chrome. All right. So that's a new thing. It never was that way before on Facebook Live. I don't know what happened. And it does not know my password. Okay. All right. Anyway. Okay. So conscious living and dying. Let me see. Is that my topic? This is such a mess today. I'm sorry, you guys. Okay. Living and dying is a gift of consciousness. You know, we, as humans, we often don't think about dying as being, you know, sort of really a conscious thing. And we don't want to talk about death because, you know, it's hard. Nobody really wants to face death or have their loved ones face death. And yet it's a part that's necessary of in life. And I heard this woman, wish I could, let me see if I can find her. She, I wonder if I saved the video. Emily, her name is Emily something. She did a TED Talk, which I just saw this morning, that I thought was absolutely brilliant. And she recently passed away. And she began her talk saying that she had stage 4 lung cancer. And then went into this beautiful thing about what a wonderful gift it is and was. And that, you know, people, as soon as you hear a diagnosis or whatever, people say, oh, they feel bad for you. And she went into this riff saying that, you know, it how atoms and turn to waves and particles, and just touched a little bit on quantum physics, but how our body is made of everything that is in the universe, and everything in the universe has a life force and a life expectancy. And everything is made of the same thing. And then the atoms and the particles and the molecules just rearrange. And so in that rearranging, then we become the physical body has an opportunity to become something else. I thought that was a pretty cool way to look at it. And that she says, you know, when she was when they were going to take care of her physical body, she was going in the ground just as she was. That way she could feed the plants and feed the trees and feed, you know, life. And that it was a gift of gratitude, and pretty amazing, right? So I wish I don't know how to find saved things. It's like I'm really like not very good with technical stuff here. And I'm sure I saved the video, but unfortunately, I don't know how to find those kind of things after you save it. So I save things and then you never see them again. Oh, my goodness. So I wonder, like, you can probably look for TED Talk and look for, let's see, Emily. That was her name. Oh, Emily Levine or Levine, depending on how you say it. Okay, here it is. So it's on Facebook, and it is about life and death. And she passed away, like I said, earlier this year. And I really love her, this talk. So you guys need to go on Facebook if you have Facebook. If you don't, look it up on YouTube. I'm sure it's there because it's a TED Talk, and it's called The Gift of Life and Death. By Emily, and it's Emily Levine or Emily Levine, depending on how she says her name. And, you know, it's this attitude of gratitude that she has. And she talks about the currency of consciousness and the currency of giving, right? So it's and approaching death with that currency. With the currency of generosity and the currency of giving. And so her generosity, her thinking is that she is giving back to the earth, right? By, okay, no wonder I can't sign it. It's telling me I can't, it's not got that email. Ah, she's giving back to the earth. And that's how she is giving back and generously with her life, is by going back to the earth in sort of a natural state and just going to be buried in the ground, and then she's giving life to other things on the planet in earth. And what an amazing way to think about dying, right? Because we often don't think about dying as a generous way. We think about dying as a loss, as a burden. And yet it really can be a beautiful, generous thing. And at the same time, those of us who are around us, you know, have the opportunity when we can look at life and look at dying in that way, as what gift am I giving? What gifts can I give? Then it changes the whole idea of it, the whole feeling of it. It really, makes it sort of more palpable. It makes it a little bit easier to sort of digest in a way. And, you know, the reason why I'm on this particular subject today is because my dad he's at the end stages of his life, and it's been a really interesting time and difficult time, as you can imagine. And, you know, it's always difficult as well, sort of dealing with people, dealing with his wife, my stepmother, and so forth. And so it's always a challenge because everybody handles life and death in different ways. And so it's been interesting. And interesting is sort of, it's an interesting word, right? What does interesting mean? I'm just trying to find a code generator here for Facebook. Oh, God. Please, I need technical support. Anybody can help? I wish my daughter has closed the door on me, and I wish she would open the door because I need some help here. Hold on. Honey, is my phone there? I'm locked out of Facebook again. and I need a code generator. Okay, my technical support is coming. Oh, I've got it. Okay. Oh my goodness, this show is a disaster today. Sorry, you guys. I don't know why I'm feeling so disorganized. Well, I'm feeling so disorganized, I think, because, you know, of everything that's going on, and because I'm not in my regular, so in my regular morning studio, I'm all set up, and I don't have to do all this stuff. So it's much easier. Oh, and now what in the world? Okay. Oh, so my phone is telling me Oprah Winfrey is live. I guess I'm competing with Oprah this morning. Isn't that interesting? Okay. There we go. And so with my dad, my stepmom she's not a very easy person, individual to deal with. She's very opinionated. Her way is the right way, and it's the only way. And it can be quite challenging to stay in my peace and sanity. Excuse me. And also challenging because she is not very good at managing the medical field, and really isn't advocating for my dad. So that part has been very difficult. She also doesn't have the same beliefs and understandings, you know, a sort of way of life that I have, which, you know, that's okay because we all have different ways of thinking and believing and whatever. And I can sort of honor that, but at the same time, it's been super difficult because I don't feel like she's really advocating for my dad. And also there's a lot of sort of old things between the two of us. Ah, here we are finally live on Facebook. Oh my goodness, you guys, it has been quite the challenge to try to get here on Facebook Live this morning. I'm not in my regular Sunday studio, and so it's been quite the challenge for the last 40 minutes trying to get on. Because I couldn't get in. I was having technical difficulties, and my tech support was nowhere to be found. So finally, here I am live on Facebook. Good morning, Cindy Fala. I like doing Facebook because I can see everybody over there and interact, which is really nice. I like that a lot. And I like Blog Talk because I can take callers, which is really nice as well. Good morning, Fatima. And sometimes on Facebook, they let you take people on live. Sometimes they don't. I don't know why. They change things all the time. Like they just changed the whole Facebook Live thing where I had to go in and answer all these questions this morning. And something about now there's a continuous live feed. I don't know if they keep playing the videos. I don't know what the story is. Good morning, Dawn. But anyway, I'm not very technical savvy, as you can probably have guessed. So therefore, it leads to challenges when getting on social media for me. Good morning. So you guys are seeing in the background here my new place. This is my during the week place, and it's on a couple of acres, which you can see the trees behind me. We have more land back there. Good morning, Lucinda, which is going to be next year. We're going to start building a healing and meditation garden with a labyrinth. And so I'm really pretty excited about that. And you'll be able to sponsor a bench if you'd like, or sponsor crystals for the healing garden and things like that. And so it's sort of in the beginning stages of planning. But this is not where I'm usually at Sunday mornings. Usually I'm at the beach house on Sundays, especially in the summer. Here I am today. But it would be kind of fun for you guys to see just a little portion of the new place where the healing garden is going to go and center, and there'll be classes here and everything. So this is where my office is. So I'm pretty excited about that. And I know some of you guys will be joining me here, and I'm excited about that as well. It's really an exciting time for me. You know, and isn't that sort of like life, right? Because we're talking about this morning, living and dying as a gift of consciousness. And isn't that, you know, life where we always have this duality going on, where we have things that are going on that are interesting and exciting. And at the same time, we have things going on in our lives that are challenging. And how do we deal with them? How do we celebrate it all? How do we do it with consciousness, right? How do we take it, how do we take the gifts and how do we give the gifts? Because that's the, like the abracadabra. It's not just receiving, it's in the giving, right? And it's in the art of giving with gratitude, with freedom, with love, you know, with an open heart, even when things are difficult and they hurt. You know, and it's being able to keep the heart open and have a soft, loving heart. And, you know, people sometimes will ask me, well, you know, well, what about when people come back and they hurt you over and over again? That, you know, it's a fine line between, you know, sort of like in abusive relationships or when you're giving too much and setting healthy boundaries in giving. And also setting healthy boundaries for yourself, right? That's a big thing, is boundaries. And what are your boundaries? And can you set healthy boundaries? And can you give with an open heart, even when it's difficult? Even when you're dealing with challenging people, like my stepmother, right? Can I still give with an open heart? Can I interact with her in a kind way, even though she has caused so much hurt in my life in the past? Sorry guys, I am so overheating. It's wicked hot here. Although not as hot as it was and not as hot as it is in other places in the country. But I am a winter girl, or I have to be at the beach in the summer. Not out in the hot sun, but be on, like on the water, you know, under the umbrella, whatever. How can you remain, right, in gratitude? How can you remain with an open heart, with loving kindness, when people can be so difficult to deal with, when situations can be so difficult to deal with, when they push our every button and stress us to the max, right? We've all had situations like that, and we face situations like that all the time. It's when those challenging things come up in our lives. Yeah, healthy boundaries is a huge theme for you, Fatima. Yeah, great. Good morning, Kathy. I think it's a theme that's coming up for a lot of people right now, because this whole rest of this year and into next year, we are really being called out to look at our stuff in a deep way, in deeper than we have ever looked before. And I mean, I have done huge amounts of self-development work. I've gone to healer school, and I've done, you know, I teach seminars, I take seminars, I am constantly upgrading, right? I'm constantly upgrading myself and upgrading. Upgrading myself in a sense of looking at what can I do different? How can I be the authentic person that I want to be in my life and for the people in my life? And so healthy boundaries is a huge part of that, And if many of you may have grown up in a household that didn't have healthy boundaries and you didn't know how to set a healthy boundary. And so you have to learn how to do that, how to set the healthy boundaries. So it's a process. It's a process. And so you find a program, you find a teacher who you like, who you can resonate with, and you find books. There's so many books out there, right? You listen to Brené Brown, you go on TED Talks, you follow Cynthia Fontaine. You know, you find a teacher who's been in the trenches. And that's a big thing because you can only teach what you know. You can only teach what you've experienced. And so authentically, a teacher is only as good as the experience they've had and gotten through and come out on the other side. So I hope that sort of makes sense to you guys. And this is like all off the cuff today. I didn't know what I was going to do the show this morning about, and I've been kicking it around. And, you know, I wasn't on the air last week because my dad had a medical emergency. I was in the hospital all day. And this, I think, just this month of July, I've been in the ER with him 4 times this month already. And it's challenging. It's really challenging. And so how do you stay centered and how do you still give with the gift of consciousness, right, in your living? Because in our living, I like this Buddhist saying that the moment you are born is the moment you begin to die. And we never know when our number is going to be chosen. We never know when that's going to happen. It's really between you and the divine, your creator, however you want to say, your higher power. It is the chart that you've chosen, the lessons, you know, that you've charted out, and we have exit points, exit strategies that we built into our chart before we come down here. I say come down because that's what people, you know, really kind of know is they say, oh, you come down from somewhere else, from heaven, from the ethers, from all that is, whatever, right? So we sit down with our team, we make a chart, we say these are the things I want to accomplish for soul growth in this lifetime. And sometimes your team will go, oh, no, that's too much. And you go, oh, yes, I'm doing all that anyway, like I did in this lifetime. And so, you know, we have this team to help us on the other side. We have to ask for them to help us, right? And in living and dying, we have all this beautiful help. Sometimes it might seem like you're so alone because we come in alone and we go out alone, really, in a sense, right? We can have people around us, but we don't take anyone with us. And we don't bring anyone with us when we come, when we're born here. We come in solo, we go out solo. We come in with what we all that is, all that we are, and we go out the same way. And so in this gift of life, in this gift of dying, we have an opportunity to give gifts, right? To receive gifts, but also to give gifts. So when I was titling the show today, I actually changed the title, and I don't know why it didn't change. Maybe I didn't save it, but I actually changed it from Living and Dying as a Gift of Consciousness to Christmas in July, because it is July, and everybody is doing Christmas in July. And what do we think about when we think about Christmas, right? We often think about gifts, giving gifts. Maybe getting gifts, but a lot about giving gifts. I love to give gifts, and I love to give gifts that are meaningful to the person who I'm giving them to. I have a couple of people in my life who give gifts in a way that they give gifts that they would like to receive. And this includes my life partner, who I have trying to redirect him on that in the art of gift giving, in that, you know, it's nice when you give people gifts that they might like to receive. They're more thoughtful. Funny. He always gets me these quirky, crazy things that I end up ultimately returning and buying something that I want. And he knows it, but he does it anyway. Although this last Christmas, he did the returns, and then I got no replacements. I wasn't too happy about that, but what are you going to do? So I think this Christmas, I'm just going to say, look, this is, I'm going to give him a Christmas list and say, this is what I'd really like. So anyway, because otherwise, maybe he'll buy the things that he thinks I might like, which are the things that he likes. You know, and then, of course, if he buys clothes, it's always the wrong size. He asks people in the store, what size do you think my girlfriend would wear? And they're like, well, I don't know. What size is she? And he'll be like with his hands. And anyway, it turns out to be a disaster. But, and then he wonders why, like, when I open the gift, I'm not like, oh, honey, that's amazing. That's so thoughtful. So hopefully this year he'll get it. And if he doesn't, that's okay too, right? That's okay too. But so if you want people to be excited about the gift you give them a gift that they are interested in and that they would really like. Okay. So I am going to go to the phone lines here in the Blog Talk studio. And there was a Skype caller who I was going to pick up, but they just, maybe they got disconnected, sadly. If you are listening and you were on Skype, call back in because I was just going to pick up your call. So the guest call-in number is 516-595-8267 if you are on Facebook. And then if you are on Blog Talk, keep in mind that I generally stay on the air on Facebook for a while after Blog Talk and interact with you over there in the Facebook studio. Because I like to. Anyway, Fatima on Facebook says, I don't like Christmas because the things we receive are not given from the heart. Well, sometimes that's true, Fatima. And really, that's why I like to, when I think about the gifts that I buy for people, I always try to be thoughtful and give from the heart. And it's, you know, a lot of people don't look at gift giving that way. And I like to make handmade things a lot for Christmas, for one thing. And this year, I've already have this plan. Dave and I are collecting sea glass and also driftwood and shells and things. And we have all these great ideas from Pinterest. And we're going to make art for Christmas presents this year. So I'm kind of excited about that. So it doesn't have to be like a money thing when you give a gift from the heart. But you can buy things with money, and it can be totally from the heart. But when you feel like you have to buy a gift, then it becomes a chore, and it's not from the heart. And so, like, the adults in my family, several years back, we said, look, actually even longer than that, with my dad and my stepmother and some the other, you know, adults, we said, look, all we're doing at this point is exchanging gift cards. Let's not do that anymore. Let's have, you know, a Christmas dinner. And what we do instead now is we might buy like little gag gifts or things like that. A few years ago, we started buying scratch tickets. So everybody spends like 10 or 20 bucks on scratch tickets, and we put them in a paper bag, and then it goes around the table. Everybody picks the scratch ticket until they're all gone. And it's a lot of fun, and, you know, nobody's won big, but we all have fun doing that together. And then we play a game, or we play a couple of games. And that, when my daughter-in-law is there, oh my God, it's so much fun because she is just a hilarious person. And she keeps us all laughing, really. And so we play these games. There was one game that we played. I don't know what it's called. You put this thing in your mouth and you have to say the sentence and then people have to guess what you're saying. And I put the thing in my mouth, and I could speak perfectly clearly. So I couldn't play the game because everybody could understand me. It was crazy. But when my daughter did it, oh, my God, we were rolling on the floor laughing. It was so awesome. All right, so I'm going to go to the call line over here on Blog Talk. And the caller here is area code 780-0941. Hi, caller. You're on the air with Cynthia. Who's this, please?
Hey, Cynthia. It's Jay calling from Canada. I haven't talked to you for a bit.
Hey, Jay. How are you?
Good. How about yourself? Are you on the other side of the country now, or used to be in California, right?
I was in California, so I like to go to California, and I was in California recently, but now I'm on the East Coast, yes. So I go back and forth a little bit, but my home base is on the East Coast. But yes, I was just recently in California for a while.
Oh, okay. I was wondering. Oh, okay. That's awesome. You get to see it.
Yeah, it is awesome. It's you know, California, like the San Diego area particularly, has weather that I really love, and I have a lot of friends out there. And so I have a place with friends there that I can stay anytime, which is great. So I love to go back and forth.
Awesome. Yeah, enjoy the summer while you have it, eh, up there.
Yeah, exactly. Because the weather's perfect in New England right now, and then in the wintertime, it's perfect in California.
That's so true.
So what's happening, Jay? How can I help you?
Well, you know, it's interesting you talk about gifts and things like that and sharing. So I thought I had a yoga teacher. I was actually doing some video stuff for about a year. And what happened is I gave the yogi teacher at the end of the year a nice gift. And what happened is she replied back on Facebook to thank me, and I was really shamed about that. So I wrote the person a letter saying, hey, I just felt this. I'm being shamed by this, you know, like a Facebook thank you. And she thought I was, you know, intending like that I wanted something back or something like that. And it was like a couple of years ago. And I was really deeply shamed by that because how much work I put into, you know, getting these videos on, because video editing, as you know, is very time consuming and things, right, to get it all right. And and it was like it was a slap in the face when I got that Facebook thank you. It was just like, why did I get shamed? And I was really mad about it. So, and I haven't talked to her since then. So, but I just thought I was expecting something back, but that was just that was bad. That's really bad. I didn't think that would happen like that. And she didn't even write the letter. Mm-hmm. She tried to write the letter, and she stopped. She didn't. She emailed me back, which is like the worst thing you do at the situation, instead of writing me back. So, yeah.
Okay. I love that you called in, and I love that you're talking about this, because this is such an important part about gifts, right? Because how often, my boyfriend, right, he gives me these gifts and he thinks I'm going to be over the moon. And I look at him and go, well, it's a lovely thought, but it's two sizes too big, you know, or it's whatever. And we have expectations, right, often as the giver, about how the people are going to react, about how the people are going to interact back with us. About, you know, what we expect by giving the gift. Yes?
Yeah,
right? And yet, the abracadabra to gift giving is to give the gift without any expectation of how the person receives it or of getting anything in return, even a thank you. Of course, we all want to be appreciated. We all want to get that thank you, because that's the ego and that's the human mind. But yet, that's the expectation, right? Because we expect it because, you know, Emily Post says it's proper and etiquette to send a thank you. And so we expect it. Something. And when it doesn't come, we feel bad. Or it comes in a way that we feel is inappropriate, then we feel bad. And then whose work does it become?
Wait, what do you mean by that?
It becomes our work. So what I mean by that is then it becomes our work. It becomes something for us to be able to look at within us, right? It because we can't control anything outside of ourselves. We can't control how other people act. We can't control how other people interact with us. We can't control people being grateful or showing gratitude or not. All we can control within ourselves. So now you take this difficult piece, you take the feelings that come up with this situation, with taking all the time and doing all the editing and putting so much of your heart into it, and then to feel shamed on social media and not getting a thank you. Now you take that piece and you can take it in so many different ways. So you can ask yourself, is there any place in my life where I feel shamed or I feel ashamed, or is there, you know, so you can look at it in that, from that angle. You can look at it, from angles. Why did I do it? Did I do it because I was looking for, this big thank you? Did I do it because I was looking up to this teacher and I wanted them to acknowledge me? So there's so much juice here that you can get out of this for yourself and work for yourself when these things come up. So I love that you called in and are talking about this today. And it's perfect to go with the subject, but also perfect for everybody to, get sort of like a lesson here, or understanding. When things like that happen, then we have the opportunity to look within ourselves. And sometimes you look and you say, no, I was really clear about my intention in giving. I was, and you check all the boxes. And then you say, well, I did what I did. I was really clear about it. I don't feel shame in my life anywhere. I don't expect to be shamed, et cetera, et cetera. And then you go, okay, now this is on them. And so it's sort of like doing this inventory for yourself and your emotions that come up with the thing that's happened. And then sometimes you'll find things and say, oh, yeah, I really was trying to, like, impress this teacher. Or, I really was feeling, I feel like my value is connected to this teacher saying how wonderful this is or how wonderful I am or how wonderful the gift is. So there's so much richness in your experience, and so many things and opportunities for you to look at questions that you can grow from this experience around. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, for sure. I met a person just recently, and it's kind of like a balance. I feel it's a balancing act in a way. It's not one-sided, don't know, it's like a balancing act. But, the thing is that we're on this topic right now, and the other people are on the phone, is that we've come to say in gratitude a shallow thank yous through emails and texting and things like that. It's not genuine. It's more like, just here it is, and, it's just, and we have to make that interpretation or presumptions about the other person, what they're, what the thank you is about, right? It can be little things, but when it's big things, it just bothers me that we don't do it on a really personal basis anymore.
Yes, and I totally agree with you on that level. And, people, it's so easy to go to social media, much easier than sitting down and put a pen to paper, right? Much easier than having to pull out your address book. Much easier than picking up the phone. And is it easier? Is it just an excuse? I mean, I'm guilty of it myself, because I have a lot of people that follow me. I have a lot of friends on social media, and a lot of people I'm connected with, many of them who I don't know personally. And, you know, they will, you know, I get invited to weddings and I get invited to all sorts of events and things like that. And, you know, or someone passes, they post something on my page, they ask for prayers. And so to connect with everybody is literally impossible, but that's not the case for most people, right? And it is nice when you make the effort and you send a sympathy card or you send a thank you note. And it's sort of the way that society, unfortunately, is gone, and it's one of the downfalls of social media. And how do we sort of correct that? I think the only thing that we can do about it is be conscious of it ourselves and to do those things that we feel are lacking. So we send the thank you note, right? We pick up the phone. And we do the things that have become not the norm anymore. They've become, the norm is to go to social media because it's easier. And, you know, people's lives are complicated, and we don't have the support like we used to of families, for one thing. So when there's family things that go on oftentimes, so, you know, I can use my own life where my dad is at end stages of his life. And, you know, my family, even though many of them are in the state, people's lives are busy and people have become sort of a little bit lackadaisical about responsibility that our generations before us felt in helping family and taking care of family. And so even though I have a large family, around me, my dad has a lot of siblings in this area. He's been in and out of the hospital, more in than out, in the last 3 months. And there's been no effort for anybody to help or anybody to visit. And it's really been tricky. So, Jay, the show's going to go off the air like in a minute, but you can stay on the line if you'd like. Because
sure.
I'd like to sort of continue the conversation. So it'll go off live, but the recording will still keep going. So let me just tell everybody on the Blog Talk Studio how to find me when I'm not on Blog Talk. And the easiest thing is to find me on social media, on that dreaded social media, on Facebook. You can find me. My public page is Cynthia Fontaine, the Rhode Island Psychic Medium. I'm also on Instagram and Twitter. And if you'd like to sign up for my newsletters, which I do not inundate, in fact, I only send out a few a year, and my publicist is trying to make me get better at that. And so that would, you go to my website, cynthiafontaine.com, and sign up for my newsletter there. And I usually use it mostly to, like, post announcements, where I'm going to be and when I have special things going on, et cetera. But anyway, you can do that. So I want to thank you guys on the Blog Talk Radio Studio for whether you tune in live or listen to the replay. I so appreciate you taking the time out of your busy life and schedule to be here with me. Okay, we're off live, but we're still recording. Oh my God, there's a whole ton of people that just come on to Facebook. Good morning, Joey. Good morning, Donna. Good morning, Errol. Good morning, Selma. Good morning, Marsha. Good morning, Sherry. Good morning, Corey. I hope I'm not missing anybody. Good morning, Arthur. Oh, my uncle. How nice. He's in Florida. Good morning, Heather. Good morning. Who am I missing? Lisa by Grace. Go I. Anyway, all right. Good morning, Elizabeth. Wow, there's tons of people over here. And okay, so if I've missed you, it wasn't on purpose. It's just because I didn't see you. I didn't see you in the feed. Scroll by. Okay, so thank you, Donna. Says prayers to me and my dad. Thank you. I really appreciate that. And so, you know, we kind of have this expectation or this hope that people, that my family would be there, right? And there's that word expectation again. And in a sense, the expectation is really what gets us into trouble. Because that creates a lot of grief for us. Thank you, Errol Star Francis. Light and love to you and Dad. Thank you so much. And Errol, to you as well. I know your mom is struggling right now. So prayers and light and love to you and your mom and your family as well. So it's the expectation, right, of the gift giving. It's the expectation in receiving the gift as well. And, you know, I'm guilty of this also. So one of my expectations has been that sort of with my boyfriend and my partner, boyfriend, it sounds so, you know, silly at this age, but is that, you know, as a relationship progresses, you know, you might go from a bracelet to a necklace to, you know, maybe their earrings might be thrown in there, but eventually there is a ring that you kind of expect, right? As relationships sort of progress in time or whatever. And so the expectation when that doesn't happen is a big deal. And then you ask, well, you know, what is my expectation? So my video is not connecting here. Okay, guys, I need to check my connection. Hopefully it's still... Stay tuned. Can you still hear me on Jay on Blog Talk?
Yep, I can hear you still.
Okay, great. Because I have gone off on Facebook that says I have a bad connection. Let's see, but I have a full, all the bars. I don't understand it. Okay. So if you guys can hear me or see me on Facebook, just, let me know, put it in the chat, please, because, it says that it's not connected and the video has been paused. Still coming in. Okay, great. All right. So I'll just keep going and not pay any attention to what it says on my screen. And if I go off, just put in the comments, you guys, will you, so that I know it's not working. Hear you, still hear you. Okay, so I guess maybe people can hear me. I don't know if they can see me. And I have all the bars, so I don't know why it says the connection is not good. Let me, the only thing I could do is go in the house, which, I don't know. Anyway, okay. So, does that help at all, Jay? I know I kind of went on a rant here.
No, it really does. I mean, but the thing is that we've also become, where friends are more of a commodity than anything else, in a way. We treat it like a commodity, numbers, right?
Yes.
And we keep our closest friends, kind of like we're sifting through all the commodity to see who our closest friends are and then communicate with them and then sparsely communicate with the other people, right? So, yeah.
Yes, yes. That's really true, right? Because now I'm just trying to get a better signal here. Because our friends have become so vast, so in a sense in the area, right? Because before social media, we had friends that lived near us. You might have had a friend that you had in school and they moved away and you kept in touch. But, like, for the most part, it was friends that are just around us. Okay, they can see and hear me. I don't know why my computer says it, they can't see me. But anyway, so good. Okay, guys, so I'm not going to move anymore. And now there are friends, we have friends all over the place. And, you know, I really like what you just said, because I recently was reminded of that when I was out in San Diego, because I was at this big event with a group of friends of mine, and there were like 230 some people there, and I was on stage Saturday night with my longtime mentor and now colleague, the beautiful Colette Baron Reed from your country of Canada. And leading up to the event, I realized that I wasn't appreciating my friends as much as I should have, because I was I was stressing out about the event. I was stressing out about, you know, being on stage in front of 230 some people. And, you know, it's like the nerves that you get, stage nerves. And it happens whether I'm in front of a group of five people or 500, it doesn't matter. But, you know, I realized that my friends around me were being so kind to me and they were so supportive. And I realized how much I needed my friends and how important they were. And then showing appreciation and gratitude to those friends. And I was really glad that I came to that conclusion so quickly that, you know, and was able to show the appreciation and gratitude towards my friends. I had one friend who brought me dinner at the hotel room because I didn't have time to go to dinner and get ready for the event. You know, I had another friend who, you know, said, oh, let's do a meditation and you'll be fine. You're always great when you're on stage and so forth. And so our friends are so, so valuable and so important to us. And, you know, they say you can pick your friends, but you can't pick your family. And one of the things throughout this process with my dad is really made me realize that I have my chosen family are my dear friends. And my dear friends have been there throughout this whole ordeal, this whole situation with my dad being ill. They're the ones who are texting me. They're the ones who are calling me. They're the ones who are messaging me, checking in, seeing if I'm okay. Is there anything they can do, et cetera? Not my birth family, you know. My dad's brother has checks on him constantly. But, you know, my own kids, yes. My partner, yes. But the rest of my family, no. And so when we have to appreciate those around us who care about us, and we have to show that kind and caring to the people around us as well. Do you want to add to that, Jay?
I find that some of my friends, they come and go. You know, that's a carousel, right? Some, I know for me in a spiritual realm or spiritual community I live in, they come and go, they're around, but I don't communicate with them on a, you know, regular basis. So for me, I'm just, I just have very few friends now. So, cause my best friend passed away last year too. So, but, yeah, just, it can be lonely. For me, it can be lonely sometimes. I don't know, maybe that's the path I chose this time of life. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I totally get that, and I understand that. And, you know, with what I do, you know, being a public figure, it can be kind of tricky, right? Because a lot of people want to be your friend, and you know, most people have good intentions. Some people, of course, you get the energy vampires or whatever. But for the most part, the people who are attracted to me are really beautiful, amazing people. And what I have found, which is really kind of interesting, is the people who I am most spiritually connected with and who I have sort of like my spiritual friendship, the majority of them do not live close by to me. They actually live in other parts of the world. And so it can be kind of lonely in a sense when you don't have that physical presence of your friends around you. And I really struggled with that for a long time. And what I found was my circle of sort of local friends has become much smaller over the years. Partially by choice, and because I'm really selective of where I spend my time and energy, and I like my relationships to be really meaningful. And, you know, I mean, I like to go out and have fun, and I have some friends who I can just go out and have fun with, but who aren't, say, that spiritual
spiritually connected or so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to grow your friendship. And sometimes, you know, your friendships aren't the physically located near you. And you so you find groups of like-minded people, typically on social media, right, where you can sort of expand your connection and get connected with people. It's so important to be connected with people. There was a research study done in Germany years and years ago, I think it was in the 40s, where they took orphaned babies and they had two groups. One group, the babies didn't get any physical interaction. And the other group, the babies got lots of physical interaction with the caregivers. And a number of babies in the group that didn't get any physical connection actually died in the study. It was a very high number. And the babies who got physical interaction thrived. And they stopped the study, and it's never been repeated for obvious reasons because, you know, it was a pretty cruel study in a sense to risk the life of an infant to see how important physical interaction is.
Mm-hmm.
So I really encourage you, we can't find friends or make friends or have meaningful relationships when there's a card in Colette Baron-Reed's Wisdom of the Oracle deck. That basically, when you get it in protection, I can't remember which card it is, but it basically says you're an armchair astronaut, right? So you have sort of high expectations of going to the moon, but yet you sit in the lounge chair hoping to get there. And I'm not saying that's the case with you, but I know for myself, it's an effort to make friends, make plans with friends and get out there. And to carve time in my schedule. But what I have found is it's so important. It's so important. You know, because times like this, when you have difficult things going on, it takes a village to keep the fires burning for you to get through these difficult times. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does.
Yeah. So if you're having trouble locally, you know, expand outside and look for groups that are things that you're interested in, and you know, interact in that way. You know, and as far as like inflection with text messaging or with messages on social media, you know, it's difficult. I totally agree. And things can get misconstrued and then feelings can be hurt and so forth, you know, with like you and your teacher. And so I have found that I have to be really clear about the message I'm sending, whether it's text or, you know, social media or whatever. And I read it and I reread it and I look at it again and I think, how might this person interpret this? And I really try to be thoughtful about how I write the message, particularly, you know, with the mind of the individual in mind. Cindy Falla, is that, yes, the card is chop wood in the Wisdom of the Oracle deck, Cindy Falla. Thank you. So I hope that, you know, you'll be able to take something helpful away from this conversation. I love chatting with you, Jay. You always have the best questions, and you always have great insight. And so I'm happy when you call in.
Oh, thanks, everyone. I'm very grateful for calling you today. And thanks much for sharing. Thank you much.
Oh, you're
I'm
welcome.
Really grateful.
Yeah, and I'm grateful too. Grateful for you. And I hope that helps.
Yeah, thanks much.
All right.
We'll take care. We'll catch another time, and we'll catch up on things again. So it's the right time to call you.
Sounds great.
Okay, take care.
Sounds great. Thanks, Jay. You too.
Bye-bye.
All right, so I'm going to sign off over here on the Blog Talk Studio.